real leadership, the essence of leadership, is showing people how it's done so that they understand it's the right way and getting them to adopt it. And then being a leader means you go against the tide when the tide is wrong. You go against the crowd when the crowd is wrong. You go against the establishment when the establishment is degenerate and sick. And then by example and by competence and by will and by strength, then the timid join you, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, quote the great Mark Twain. In the beginning, the patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it cost nothing to be a patriot. The patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it cost nothing to be a patriot. And when you commit to something worthy and good, it is not a weight. It is everything. It is your greatest strength. It becomes your soul to risk your life for freedom. It's what God forged you in his mind as he created your soul before he even put you in your mother's womb. He knew you.
You got a little reminder from the boss, Alex Jones, and I want to touch on that topic a little bit, and we'll do it on the other side because we don't quite have time to play the video here. But Nick and Alex were talking about this with the rash of people that have woken up over the last couple of years and the way that they are coming to terms, like grappling with reality, but maybe aren't as awake as they might think they are. And it's a big issue, because as we're winning, as we're gaining momentum, as more and more people are waking up, it's like they've been dislodged from the Matrix cocoon. They've been swept out of the mainstream, and they're sort of floating free radicals. They're free agents, and they're going to try to find their tribe. They're going to try to find, you know, the people that are awake outside of the Overton window, you might say. And they're going to try to determine, you know, which explanation of reality fits. And there's a lot of very convincing, but very wrong visions of reality that are presented to people once they wake up, once they snap out of the hypnotism of the mainstream. You got people pulling in every direction. And we can see the way the bad guys are playing this and are manipulating this fact. And one of the things that you notice over and over again, if you've been paying attention, is that all of the psyops love claiming that Alex Jones is a psyop. You ever notice that? I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a more thoroughly debunked and thoroughly disgraced set of conspirators or conspiracy theorists as the QAnon phenomenon. Just proven wrong in a million different ways. Like little predictions that Q would make, totally fabricated, totally wrong, just didn't come to fruition. Claims they would make about people who are on the inside, the white hats, so, you know, you can trust Bill Barr, like all this stuff, just flagrantly, provably, factually wrong. And QAnon is out there telling you Alex Jones is a Mossad agent. Okay? A normal person should be able to see this and go, gee, if the known liar is telling me Alex is a Mossad agent, maybe that's not true. Maybe that, in fact, is what you could call Jew jacketing. There's something called Fed jacketing. Nick Fuentes is a major victim of this, where people will claim that you're a Fed so that people don't trust you. And the same thing happens with people working for Mossad or Israel or Jewish interests. And a lot of times you'll have Jewish people, Jew jacketing non-Jewish people to divide them from other non-Jewish people. Again, we've explained this with Laura Loomer. And when Alex Jones has a problem with something Candace Owens says, Laura Loomer comes out to say, yes, Alex is on my side and we are against you. And so a bunch of people that don't like Laura Loomer suddenly want to hate Alex Jones. It's a psyop. How do you not understand this? We'll be back. I'll explain it. Don't worry. I'll explain it.
G-Man, all the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine!
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone!
Order Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Still a lot to cover. You know, I want to get into what's going on with Iran, as it seems like we were on the cusp of all-out war yesterday, and today it's like not even in the headlines, really. Apparently America was ready to go, and it was everybody else who was telling us to stop. So it's all insane. I want to get into, you know, talk more about the Insurrection Act and everything, too, as the left is saying, you really shouldn't do this. That's a really drastic move. It's like, yeah, well, you put us in drastic situations. So, clearly they don't want the Insurrection Act invoked. I mean, Tim Walz was like, go out and make your voices known, but don't give them an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act. Okay. Do what your enemy doesn't want you to do. It's like really the most simple law of warfare. Whatever your enemy doesn't like, do that as much as humanly possible. Okay. But I want to go to this video. I probably saw this video a week ago, and it's a type of video that as soon as it comes on, it's like, okay, it's this again. It's this claim again. It's this psyop again. And I just have to go, you know, I hope people can see through this. I hope people have the intelligence, the basic. I mean, this really is, really should be like a litmus test. This should be the type of video that you show people that think they're red-pilled, that think they're awake, that think they're a critical thinker and are a free thinker and able to parse truth from lies for themselves. This should be a litmus test, because if you can't see through this, you don't know what you're doing. And maybe we need a little bit more humility on this side of the aisle, as it were. A lot of people very convinced that they are, you know, Sherlock Holmes when it comes to figuring out who's a Fed or who's, you know, corrupted or what the truth is. And it's like, you guys are just wrong. A lot of you are just flagrantly wrong. And it's annoying because you're often wrong about us. So I want to go to this video. I see it a week ago. I'm like, okay, I hope this video doesn't do well, but I can just tell people are going to fall for this. And I'd rather just not address it because, frankly, it's just not, I don't want it to spread more, so I don't want to address it because I don't want to repost it or whatever. But then I see it keep getting spread, and more people posting, oh my God, you got to watch this video. So then I do a long post on X about it, debunking the whole thing. But I think I want to play it here because it's a very good lesson. It's a very good teaching tool for us. So we can go through, and I can show you how I watch a video like this and how we can deconstruct it and how anybody with above, you know, triple digit IQ should be able to see through this stuff right away. So it's clip number 5. Let's watch.
Dude, that the entire Great Awakening was a psyop headed by controlled opposition figureheads designed to reveal any dissidence to the pro-government, pro-Israel movement of America. Be crazy. Anyway, have you ever heard of the Zephyr Plan?
Allegedly, David Goldberg was a researcher with a White House insider source, as well as intelligence officials. David was Jewish and Zionist and was horrified in 2019 after learning of Zionist plans through White House memos and other internal documents describing two projects, Project Pogo and Project Zephyr, a two-stage plan.
Let's pause right here. Right off the top, if you're this far into the video and you can't tell this is fake already, You don't have supervision. You don't have the X-ray vision like I do. They just said that from White House memos, they found these plans to exterminate Americans. You think the White House is sending around memos about this? If memos like this existed, they would be in SCIFs and would eventually be released in some massive tranche dump 50 years from now. There's not memos about stuff like this, dummy. And the whole framing of he was a Jewish Zionist, but he uncovered the Zionist plan to kill non-Jews and came out. It's like, all right, first of all, you're the anti-Semite telling me to trust the word of a Zionist Jew is in your words. Okay, that's a little bit contradictory in and of itself. But that's obviously a framing technique to try to give more gravitas to this, give more truthfulness to this, you know, give it the appearance of reality. These should be obvious to you. So, like, all right, just this far into the video, you should be going, yeah, I doubt it. But let's keep listening. Let's keep. Oh, by the way, this has absolutely been proven to be a total hoax. It was a 4chan post. People have looked into it. It was a prank. It was a literal prank. So we know that incontrovertibly. But you don't need to know that to see through what they're about to say. Let's watch.
Oh, they would utilize TTID, tag, track, and ID. They would use this for dissidents, nationalists, patriots, anyone who would pose a long-term threat. They used YouTube gatekeepers like Alex Jones to create a space for alternative thinkers. They were all agents paid to put out truthful information to tag, track, and identify the people who were watching and interacting.
All right, so let's pause it right there, okay? She's about to completely contradict herself and say something that's the complete opposite of what she just said, but let's deal with this claim on the face of it. This was a plan seemingly discovered in 2019 where they say they would allow people like Alex Jones to exist on platforms like YouTube, which is a little weird because we were kicked off of YouTube and all of social media in 2018. So that's a little flaw in your plan there, lady. Now the claim is like, well, they let Alex Jones go because he's controlled opposition. So they let him be popular. Okay, this is a year after we were kicked off of YouTube, kicked off of every social media platform all in one day as they tried to destroy us. So that sort of doesn't work with your whole plan, does it? Sort of means that you must be completely wrong about everything that you're talking about fundamentally. That's just a timeline thing. That's just a timeline interruption. But she's about to contradict herself completely here. But again, the claim so far is that they would allow controlled opposition to exist so that they could tag and track and ID the people who were watching alternative content, even though the alternative content they were watching is controlled opposition. But if it's controlled opposition, then that's not the people that you're trying to find. You're trying to find the people that are outside of the controlled opposition realm, right? This is the type of thing where people hear this and they go, oh my God, it all makes total sense. And it's like, no, it is literally self-defeating. It is self-contradictory. Prima facie makes no sense at all. Okay. Already. And we've only gotten to the first half. The second half completely contradicts the first half. So it's all nonsense. But let's back it up like 15 seconds so we can hear this whole diatribe. They're going to use track and trace technology because they're going to have allowed dissidents so they can track their audience, okay, even though this is a year after Alex Jones has been kicked off of everything. Okay, back to the video.
For Pogo, they would utilize TTID, tag, track, and ID. They would use this for dissidents, nationalists, patriots, anyone who would pose a long-term threat. They used YouTube gatekeepers like Alex Jones to create a space for alternative thinkers. They were all agents paid to put out truthful information to tag, track, and identify the people who were watching and interacting, basically using alt media influencers as honeypots. They then created databases of Americans who were awake. Remember, Alex Jones, Andrew Tate, and Tucker Carlson all have CIA daddies. Their targets are anti-Zionists, anti-Semites, Christians discussing Synagogue of Satan, Muslims, any goyim who won't conform, and anyone aware of and opposing Zionist world government plans. Project Zephyr, the second stage, the extermination. High-value targets will be taken out through kidnappings via a U.S.-based Israeli Defense Force, or ICE. The low-value targets would be taken out through viruses or other widely applicable means. At the time, they were working on COVID. Goldberg estimated the total number of dissidents to be around 15% of Americans, and that was in 2019. He also said that if there were too many dissidents, they would then conduct power outages and purge-style attacks to take people from their homes and place them into camps. He said that they might blame it on Iran, and false flags would probably take place to make the U.S. go to war with Iran in order to further Israel's Greater Israel Project. It discusses foot soldiers from the U.S. and nuclear weapons being used in Iran. The memos also said that Donald Trump had converted to Judaism in 2017 and joined the Chabad Lubavitch Synagogue in New York.
All right, let's pause. I was gonna let it play for a little while, but I think we gotta go back and address what everything we've just seen. All right, you got Project Pogo and Project Zephyr. Project Pogo is where you let alternative people say truthful information, but that they don't criticize Zionists and they don't criticize Jewish organizations, but it's their followers that are being tracked and ID'd. So that later Project Zephyr can kill them, even though they're the ones that are falling for the honey trap. Remember that Alex Jones is a honey trap to get people into the alternative media, but he's keeping them out, locked out of the truth. But the people that listen to him are finding the truth, so then they have to be killed. Like, do you understand that this genuinely doesn't make any sense? Like, again, on the face of it. It is completely contradictory. How are you going to have controlled opposition that you also are using as a honeypot to track and trace people? That makes no sense. It makes even less sense when you know that the people they're claiming are the honeypots and allowed to operate are not allowed to operate and have been kicked off everything. Okay, if this was true, it would actually apply to somebody like Candace Owens, who actually is allowed on Spotify, is allowed on YouTube, is allowed on Facebook, is promoted by all of these things, and talks almost endlessly about Zionism and Israel. Maybe she's the one who is the honeypot getting people around her who are being identified. Because this is sort of the dangerous thing here, is that what they're talking about is aligned with truth. There is truth to the false flag getting us into war with Iran, obviously. There's truth to the idea of using a virus to go after political enemies, even something that might be, you know, genetically coded to apply to certain people and not others. There's truth to that. This is actually, in this meta way, they're claiming that they're exposing bad actors doing a psyop, but that exposure itself is a lie to try to frame the good actors as bad actors, because this video is the psyop. Do you understand? Is that making sense to you? I might just have to read the tweet I did about this, because it seems more complicated than it really is. It's pretty simple. You have people that are the real deal, like Alex Jones. So you have these other people wearing masks come out and say, actually, this secret insider on 4chan told us in 2019 that Alex Jones is only allowed to succeed because he's working with the bad guys, even though the timeline is wrong, completely messed up and inaccurate, and the claims that they're making are completely inverted. The reality is that Alex Jones was right about how COVID would be used. If you had read this in 2019 and then the next year in 2020 we're running around telling people COVID is a disease designed by Jews to kill all of the Jew haters, you would have seemed insane. And then the claims that the virus was lab created or that it was a manufactured crisis and the people in charge knew what was happening and were manipulating it to gain more control, that would have been discredited because of the insanity that you started with. The truth was what Alex Jones told you, was that the virus would be released to get lockdowns and digital IDs and vaccine mandates and to collapse the economy. That's how it was actually used. Now here comes this guy telling you not to listen to Alex Jones and telling you the virus that's coming, which I think he probably had some insight into the virus. Like, I literally think this was part of the buildup to the virus psyop, was trying to discredit people like Alex Jones who were warning you about the virus psyop that was coming. So you have this guy come out and say, oh, the virus that's coming, it's a kill weapon for all of the anti-Jewish people that have been identified through the honeypots. So that's utterly untrue. obviously, because we're 5 years from COVID, and guess what? It didn't kill all of the Jews, and the IDF didn't raid us. But you do understand that Palantir and the IDF cyber dome defense system, I mean, they are, in a very real way, both writing laws against anti-Semitism and building the digital panopticon that can surveil us constantly, even to the point that they're decrypting your messages before they're even sent, and that this will be run by hardcore Zionists who, if they're allowed to do so, will use it to target anti-Semites for destruction. I mean, they are doing it. I mean, I got a story here from DropSite about Canary Mission, where they have these secret unlisted sites where they dox people who they consider anti-Semites so that the government or corporations can go after them or debank them or do something else. So, again, this is sort of a new iteration of the QAnon phenomenon. It's giving you enough things aligned with or parallel to the truth while keeping you away from the real truth, or away from the truth at the heart of the matter, and trying to discredit people that are trying to tell you the truth. It's a sophisticated psyop, but it's a psyop. And you should be able to see through this, because on the face of it, the whole thing falls apart. But if you were to just watch this video uncritically, it could be very convincing. You could come away believing everything this woman says. None of it stands up to scrutiny in the slightest. But let's let it finish.
High-level rabbis in which these plans were discussed. These plans said several times that he would have to declare himself king of Israel publicly to symbolically declare the start of the plans. Trump is not just a Jew, according to the memos. He's a Freemason and allegedly has been promised high-ranking positions for his children in the government that they're forming, which will be headquartered in Jerusalem. David posted his findings on his YouTube channel. His channel was then scrubbed. David Goldberg died on June 8th, 2019, in his Brooklyn apartment.
I'm not sure he ever even existed. The whole thing was a prank again.
With foam coming out of his
but mouth. Yeah, you know, it's just, again, it's a bunch of nonsense that is tinged with the truth. Will they do a false flag, try to get us into war with Iran? Absolutely, that's in their playbook. And frankly, I don't know. They've tried everything else. Was COVID a manufactured disease released on purpose to gain more control? Absolutely. Like, all of this stuff is very true. Are they trying to build a third temple so they can usher in the age of the Antichrist and rule a one world government from Israel? Yeah, that is actually their plan. It's just everything else she said is nonsense. It's just all of these things that are true are embedded in and caked in, encapsulated in a bunch of nonsense to get you off the track. This is a true red herring, if you know where red herring comes from. It was a scent that would trick hunting dogs off the trail, right? They get that you're pursuing the trail. They get that you're onto them. They get that you're not listening to the mainstream media. You're doing your own research. You're trying to find out the truth behind the headlines. And so they feed you what seems like the forbidden truth, when in reality, it's a sophisticated mask of the truth. It's a facsimile of reality that's meant very particularly, very, you know, delicately to guide you right off the track without even realizing it. Okay? So you need to be able to understand this, and if you can't understand this, you need to listen to people who do. And it really is as simple as that. And on top of that, you have to realize, okay, if this video is entirely fake, like it's just not true on the face of it, as I've said, and again, this is just using the internal logic of the video, it completely falls apart. And so, if it's not true, then who put it out and why? And why is it going viral right now if it's from 7 years ago in 2019? Well, it falls perfectly in line with everything else that we're seeing from the Jewish lobby or the Israeli lobby. To divide and conquer the right wing, because the right wing in America are the ones that care about our rights. They genuinely do care about freedom of speech, freedom of action, freedom of movement, the Second Amendment. The liberals will pretend to adopt these beliefs if they are useful in the moment, but they do not actually genuinely believe these things in a principled way. The right wing does. So if you are a group of people that are trying to destroy the First Amendment, trying to eliminate our Bill of Rights, you know that the greatest barrier to your ability to do that are the America First principled right wingers. And so what do you want to do to them? You want to divide them. You want the Alex Jones wing against the Candace wing, against the Nick Fuentes wing, against the Andrew Tate wing, against the Tucker Carlson wing. You want them all fighting and biting at each other and claiming all of each other are frauds. Meanwhile, we're not coming together to stop the actual genuine threats to our rights that are only increasing day by day. So it honestly is just a bummer to me to see this video spread like it has, because it just represents to me an underlying stupidity that people can't see through this type of stuff. This really is like a litmus test. If you can watch this and come out of it going, oh, gee, I don't know, that was pretty convincing, you're not cut out for this. You need to be a listener, not a sayer, right? You need to let other people interpret things for you because you aren't capable of it. Okay? So, just putting that out there. If you saw that video and thought it was convincing, you might need to humble yourself a little bit, because it wasn't accurate or convincing in the slightest. Here's what I said about it. This is effing arted for 10 reasons. For like 10 reasons. For one thing, it says the plan from 2019 was to track Alex Jones fans by allowing his content to proliferate. Alex was kicked off YouTube and all socials in 2018. Plus, if your plan was to identify anti-Semites, why would you track the fans of a non-anti-Semite? The plan as described is incoherent on the face of it, claiming two different and contradictory things at the same time while being wrong about the basic facts. Either they're letting anti-Semitism proliferate so they can track it, or they're allowing Zionists to prove conspiracy containment, fake opposition to exist as cover. You can't have both of these things at the same time, and neither one of them apply to Alex because he's A, not anti-Semitic, so tracking his fans wouldn't help with that, and B, kicked off of everything, so you couldn't track him anyway. But this video does have elements of truth because it's, in fact, a sophisticated psyop. The part about a virus seems to align with COVID, except that COVID wasn't a disease programmed to kill anti-Semites, and you would have looked insane if you were claiming it was. This guy in the video didn't predict how COVID would be used. Alex Jones did. Alex warned about vaccine mandates and digital ID and lockdowns, not the BS story this guy was selling, making you think the virus was real and dangerous. If you actually look at what Israel's trying to do right now, they're desperately trying to divide the right wing. It's why Laura Loomer tried to take credit for Alex criticizing Candace. It's why Trump and everyone keep saying there's no room for anti-Semitism in the Republican Party. What they really don't want are real America First right wingers unifying to oppose the destruction of our rights. This is not about a secret plan to poison all the anti-Semites. It's about the public plan to criminalize anti-Semitism by incremental infringements on the First Amendment while building a digital panopticon of biotech surveillance and economic control. To achieve that, they're causing strife and discord among those most capable of resisting it. This video directly contributes to their efforts. The video that you watched is doing the thing that your enemies are trying to do, but telling you they're doing the opposite. This is the world of psyops that we live in. You really have to be able to see through these double-blind kind of attacks, these manipulations upon manipulations, wheels within wheels. It's not actually that complicated. You just have to be able to parse this stuff for yourself. And if you can't, then I'm here to help. I'm here to help you, folks, because once you get to the bottom of it, you realize this wasn't just a random video. This is a deliberate attack. This was a psyop within a psyop, pretending to unveil a psyop that doesn't actually exist and was a psyop in the first place. Psyops upon psyops, folks. We're going to be joined in the next segment by Tyler Nixon. We're going to talk about Tina Peters and some faint glimmer of hope that she may get justice yet. Stay tuned, folks, and go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. Try the new smelling salts. They're very intense.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Tyler Nixon. He's an Army infantry veteran who served his country with honor before transitioning to a legal career as a counselor at law. A passionate constitutionalist and advocate for liberty, he describes himself as an extremist in the defense of liberty and actively engages in political commentary, writing, and analysis on issues ranging from elections to government accountability. As a technologist and critical historian, he brings a multifaceted perspective to his work, often highlighting perceived corruption, hypocrisy in politics, and threats to constitutional principles. You can follow him on X at Real Tyler Nixon. Tyler, how are you doing today, sir?
Great to be back with you on InfoWars. What a great day to be on InfoWars, Harrison. And I tell you, it's tough times we're living through. I never thought I'd see, when I got into politics roughly 43 years ago as a kid, that I would see our country's politics degenerate the way it has into this morass, and that we would be in the grip of communist criminals in so many places in this country.
Yeah, and total anarcho-tyranny, which is really, you know, the Tina Peters case is really a symbol of this, right? It's so unjust, it's so outrageous, and it's so infuriating that we can't get this problem solved. Let me just set the table for our listeners for the latest. Yesterday was a good day for former Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, whose appeal was heard in Colorado by a 3-judge appellate panel. Peters was sentenced to a 9-year sentence in October 2024 for quote-unquote crimes committed while upholding her obligations under federal law to secure election records. The charges Peters was convicted of include 3 counts of attempting to influence a public servant, 1 count of conspiracy to commit criminal impersonation, first-degree official misconduct, violation of duty, and failure to comply with an order of requirement from the Secretary of State. All of this is ridiculous, but the appeal is going through. And you actually watched the entire appeal proceedings. What was your takeaway overall about what happened yesterday?
I also watched most of the trial, actually. You know, I got to tell you, I was by Roger Stone's side when he was persecuted. You know, I went through that lawfare 2 years roughly of his life gone before that. The judge, Amy Berman Jackson in D.C. And, you know, I got the same kind of vibe as I did with Stone's trial, when I watched Tina Peters' trial. I wasn't physically there, but I mean, this was a railroading, no question. And the thing about it, you know, what is pretty obvious, Harrison, is that the whistleblowers who are the most on point, who are the closest to the truth, who are most over target, are the ones they really nail to the wall. John Kiriakou is a friend of mine. I saw you play a clip of him yesterday on yesterday's show, and I mentioned that to him on the phone. We spoke for about 15 minutes this afternoon, and as you know, he was nailed to the wall for revealing the torture was going on. You know, you have Tina Peters, similar example. I mean, you know, she is basically her life has been destroyed, and she has been crucified at the hands of a criminal cartel that has taken over the state of Colorado. There's no question in my mind. First of all, you have a Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold. This woman issued a statement, which I sent. I sent the link to you as well as to your producer. I don't know if you can pull that up and if they can quick act. But
we know Griswold because we'd been following her and all the other secretaries of state that were all conspiring to keep Trump off the ballot in 2020 and again in 2024.
No, but she's this one's a particularly pernicious case. She is an extremely repulsive and diabolical individual, as far as I'm concerned. And what's scary is that she is now running for attorney general. So you have the current attorney general in Colorado running for governor, and you have this corrupt secretary of state running for attorney general. I cannot fathom this woman with her slipperiness, with her with what she has done. In the persecution of Tina Peters, which is the most ridiculous lynch mob I've seen since Roger Stone. I mean, Abraham Bolden is a client of mine. He was the first black Secret Service agent. Similarly, a lynch mob. This is what this was, that they, you know, all she did was try to preserve. She knew that there was a serious problem because, and across the state, look, I go up and down Colorado. I live in Denver. This is not a blue state. Okay. You know, I've been up and down and east of the, not so much west of the Rockies, but definitely, you know, on the front range, I've been all over the state. There is no way that this state is as deep blue as they would have you believe. And certainly not deep blue of the communist, you know, really fascist variety that we have, that's taken over the state since roughly, 2014, 2013, when a handful of billionaires came in here and essentially just bullied their way into the system and used the marijuana legalization initiative essentially to sort of corral the mail-in balloting, and the state's never been the same since. Right. And look, it's run the machine. These are machines in 62 counties owned by Dominion Voting Systems. Tina Peters knew something was amiss. You know, the results that were coming out of these elections in her county, you know, the city council, I believe it was the city council election in April, immediately following the 2020 election in April of 2021. And, you know, this is rural areas. This is Republican. I mean, I've always said Colorado's a red state with big blue cities, a couple [S2] Yep. [S1] Of big blue cities, or, you know, Boulder, Denver, to a lesser extent, Fort Collins, and even lesser Colorado Springs. And she noticed that all Democrats were elected. It was suddenly like, oh, suddenly everybody decided to elect Democrats and you know, where they hadn't been elected in generations, possibly. Right. And so she began sniffing around and checking things out. And she realized that, look, you know, there's something going on here with these, with the, this black box voting, with these systems. And so, you know, immediately following the election, the Secretary of State wanted to do what's called a trusted build, and with in conjunction with Dominion. So this would have erased all of the election records from the previous election, November 2020. So you're talking within a few months of the election. Right. Now, federal law requires 22 months that you have to preserve those records. And she was adamant about preserving those records. But apparently the state, you know, and certainly Jenner Griswold, doesn't seem to give a rip about federal law or preserving voter records. And the reality is they were in such a hurry and they were so secretive about it. And so sort of what's the word? I would say diabolical almost the way they went about it, that there's no two ways about it, that they were looking to cover up a crime.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. And they went ahead and committed a federal crime in erasing in 62 counties, all of the election data from the previous election. And Tina Peters brought someone in who she trusted because she is not. And here's the essential problem, really big picture, is that these systems are so complex and so complicated that ordinary citizens or even the clerks that run them, that are supposed to be running the elections, they don't understand how they work. You know, they don't understand the finer points. I mean, I hate to say it. Tina Peters' attorney yesterday, great guy. I mean, I'm sure he is. I commend him for sticking with her and for defending her and advocating for her rights. But he didn't know what he was talking about as far as the technology went. I mean, I was frustrated. I was literally saying, say this, which is that, you know, the court didn't understand it either. Frankly, the Court of Appeals did not understand the finer points. I would urge anyone who's on X to check out Patriot Mark Cook. It's at Patriot Mark Cook. You know, this guy is a tech expert who went through, I mean, he poured through this stuff for years and basically discovered that, I mean, these electronic voting systems are sieves with built in. I mean, the fraud possibilities are built into the system. And, you know, for in so many ways, there's so many opportunities, including the activation of wireless capabilities, which are not supposed to be connected to the internet as well. The tabulation, he recently did an hour and a half presentation in which he just runs through by the numbers why these systems are absolutely fraud machines. I mean, they were designed for this. And, right. You know, I don't think based on what we know of the history. And look, the Democrat crime syndicate, the Democrats aren't a party. They're a crime syndicate. They have been quick to demonize anyone who would dare question. And the ferocity with which they have gone after anybody who dare question the election, question the results, question the way they're doing things, to me is a tell. It's always been a tell all along. You know, it's like they have got to, they know they're protecting some deep, dark secret by the way the fierceness which they, and the viciousness which they go after anyone who questions it. Jenna Griswold came out with a statement. I mean, when does the Secretary of State come out and involve herself in a criminal case? You know, regardless of the fact that her office was involved. And by the way, she was the driving force behind this,
right?
You know, sort of getting ahead of it. She initiated everything, you know, like launched herself on Tina Peters. And she is from the very beginning made extremely partisan and biased statements of the sort we see coming out of the propaganda media, which is, you know, right. These are election lies. She's an election denier. This is an attack on election workers and the election system and democracy and all this claptrap designed to distract people from the reality and to essentially dramatize, you know, victimize themselves in the issue.
Exactly. To blow it up to be a much bigger issue than it really is, because in reality, even if Tina Peters is 100% guilty of what they accuse her of, it's like she made a copy of data that she was legally allowed to have some would argue obligated to do. So it's like, okay, at the very worst, she's totally, you know, guilty of this. It should be what, a $500 fine maybe, you know? But when you frame it as this is an attack on our elections and she's trying to overthrow the – it becomes this much bigger deal.
And conspiracy theories and all this –
So again, just in case people don't know, this is what actually happened. Tina Peters served as a county clerk in Mesa County, Colorado, with a legal duty to preserve election records. When she was informed that the election system was to be updated through a trusted build, she created a backup. Her concern was simple. Once data is destroyed, accountability becomes impossible. For this, she was charged, convicted, and sentenced to 9 years in prison. So that's the outrage. That's it. Well, one of the many outrageous parts of this whole case is the big crime she's accused of is just copying data because it was about to be destroyed.
It's even worse than that. It's really even worse than that. You know, and the state at the hearing yesterday would not acknowledge that they don't necessarily concede that it was legal for her to make the copies that she did of the election records. She's the county clerk. She's responsible. These are her machines, technically. I mean, they belong to the people of Mesa County, but I mean, you know, she's the custodian of them. She was charged with, facilitating like identity fraud and inducing a state official to take an act by deceit or by deception. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And why is this? Because the Dominion and the Secretary of State could not permit anyone whatsoever who was not authorized, an employee of the county clerk. No member of the public could witness this trusted build. You know, it's like, hold on a second here. These are elections. Every grain of an election, every process, everything should be, you know, with the exception of people's personal information to the extent it's held in, the election rolls should be public. I mean, This is the idea that there's these opaque, obscure processes that have to go on behind closed doors and we can't have members of the public here. I mean, she had to literally sneak someone in who was a computer expert who could witness what they were doing. And witness the crime, frankly. And, you know, they went – and that's the beauty of it. They couldn't get her on any – because she was performing her duties. She was preserving the federal election records and, frankly, foiling – in the process of foiling a – what I believe to be the commission of crimes by the Secretary of State, federal crimes, destroying these election records in a larger conspiracy to destroy – I mean, why would they be so anxious to destroy election records and all the logs? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, you know,
why did Hillary Clinton want to, bleach bit her server? Yeah, it's like, okay, deleting that is a crime. Having the server is a crime, but that's all in service of the much larger crime that they're just covering up. So that really is what we're witnessing. Again, just to really emphasize how absurd all of this is, and Joe Hoff does a great job on this, joehoff.com. Tina Peters is 70 years old. She's a widow, a cancer survivor, a Gold Star mother who lost her Navy SEAL son in service to this country. Whatever one believes about the 2020 election, no rational standard of justice can justify a punishment of this severity for what amounts to record preservation. Like that is a bombshell paragraph right there. Third paragraph in this story from Joe Hoff today. It's titled Insanity, Colorado disregards presidential pardon. Sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. And to get to the core of it, the appeals court yesterday, I have to say, the judge that presided over Tina Peters' case is a disgrace to the bench and frankly should probably be imprisoned because I think he's part of this conspiracy.
Wow.
The fact that he was so heavy handed on this 70-year-old woman who's a Gold Star mother. I mean, it is absurd. It is vicious and malicious. The fact that she was sentenced that much time tells you not that they wanted to punish or send a message, that they need her behind bars. They need her to die behind bars because they know that she could substantiate the fraud and the, frankly, the election law violations, the federal election violations that went on by the Secretary of State and her, whoever's working with her in erasing these records. And they don't want, I mean, Tina Peters is the linchpin. She could be the witness in a federal conspiracy trial against the, you realize this isn't stealing an election. This is stealing the government from the people. I mean, literally stealing the voice of the people away from them.
It's actually a terrifying thing that's happening. And this would be easily recognizable by everybody if it was happening in another country. If you told somebody that Vladimir Putin was imprisoning some old woman who had evidence of the fact that he stole the election, people would go, yep. Sounds evil to me. Sounds about right. Sounds like what tyranny does to stay in power. That's what's happening here as we speak. This isn't a metaphor. This is actually happening. This is real tyranny going on in our country right now.
Yeah. These are communist parasites, communist criminals who have taken it upon themselves that their ideology, that their power, I don't even think it's ideology. They're all about leftist, the woke and all the radical left politics, but really it's just about greed and power at the center of it. They have a pipeline of, you know, of hard left, radical left Democrats that are more than willing to just, you know, move up the chain. Like I said, we have the current attorney general running for governor. You have the secretary of state, Jenny Griswold, running for attorney general. And they'll keep this pipeline going, fed and continued by, you know, defrauding these elections as long as they can get away with it. And the thing is, it's a monster. I mean, it's beyond monstrous. And again, I think they don't. What they did is they did it with Roger. They do it with all these cases, which is what I call decontextualizing it. So Tina Peters, she committed, you know, identity fraud, and she, but you know, they bring in all these charges that don't get to the heart of it. They couldn't charge her with any election related charges. None of them had to do directly with, you know, her duties as the county clerk or the election. It all had to do with impersonation, inducing a state official to take an act, you know, and which was really a sting operation, which Tina was trying to do. And the judge and I have to say, yesterday gave me hope for the first time in the state, because the three judge panel who heard this, I was disappointed, honestly, with Tina's counsel. Like I said, I don't think he was a little flat footed. He didn't understand the technology and didn't seem very quick on his feet with the legal questions. But I'll tell you what, these three judges, or at least two of them, were extremely sharp, and they knew the issues, and they absolutely dismantled the state's attorney's case. It was a sight to behold. I was so heartened by this, because I knew that they understood the legal issues and the constitutional issues and the stakes involved, and whether I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. But, you know, it went to the court, and one of the judges asked what if she believed that the Secretary of State was going to commit a federal crime, or was there was some sort of any sort of impropriety involved in the elections over which Tina is responsible. What else was she to do? Because the attorney general, the whole state hierarchy run by the Democrat crime syndicate is in on it. So what is she to do?
That's the fundamental question.
Answer that question. You know, oh, she's supposed to. And even when he said, well, she made a copy, they wouldn't even concede that her making a copy separate of the system was legal as well. So, yeah.
Right. It's just incredible. Now, there was because we've got some videos about this I might go to in the next segment. But let me ask you your interpretation, since you have a legal mind on all this. This moment, I guess, in the proceedings yesterday went semi-viral. The fireworks, it says, began when the state presented its arguments. The significant issues that the judges probed revolved around a misstated charge, unjust sentencing, and the trial judge's restrictions on Peter presenting a complete defense. They asked, quote, is it your position that a person can still be convicted of a crime with which they were never charged and with which the jury was never instructed as long as the evidence is sufficient? Asked Judge Ted C. Tao. Yes, I think that is what the case law indicates, responded Senior Assistant Attorney General Lisa Michaels. It was one word, might. And it was already, Michaels began before being interrupted by another judge, Judge Craig Welling. Yeah, but the one word distinguishes it from a felony to a misdemeanor, Judge Welling stated. In this case, it made an extra sentence, 15 more months in the Department of Corrections that couldn't have been given had it been a misdemeanor conviction. It clearly affects a substantial right. So does this go back to the original trial and that the jury was instructed that a crime was a felony when it was in fact a misdemeanor? Like, what was this misunderstanding about?
This is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, literally, this when I said decontextualize, what the trial judge did was he excluded all of Tina Peters' defenses. You know, in other words, she had no intent. She didn't intend to defraud. One of the ones they dismantled was the fact that the impersonate or the inducing a an official to take an act by some sort of form of fraud or whatever or misrepresentation has to have a benefit to the person, a personal benefit right. to the person who's committing it. Right. So they're like, well, what exactly was her personal benefit? And, you know, Tina's argument was that there was no personal benefit to me. In fact, I was taking a risk doing this right. because I was doing it for the benefit to perform my duties of preserving election records and the integrity of our elections. But they excluded the trial judge excluded any ability and any evidence indicating that this was her intent. And it's like, you know, the essential elements, I mean, of a crime, you have mens rea, which is, you know, intent. You have to intend to be doing something criminal. This was not Tina Peters' intent, but they made sure, the trial judge made sure that he excluded any possibility of her explaining why she did this. So it appears, as though it was like what the state's attorney called it, they called it the deception, scheme of deception, as if like the scheme of deception, but for what? I mean, it was essentially, she was trying to run a one woman or, you know, with one other person sting operation on a criminal cartel that was coming in to essentially destroy the records from the previous election and probably erase what would be the evidence of their having tampered with or otherwise manipulated the election. So, And the core issue there was the judge not only excluded this, but he excluded these arguments or excluded the evidence of this. But then when it came to sentencing, he went on and on about, you know, how she's an election denier and that kind of thing, and indicated that he had essentially used that in considering her sentencing.
Right.
And in the case of what you're talking about, this particular issue, same thing. I mean, they just sort of slipped in a felony, basically convicted her of a felony when it should have been a misdemeanor, by just essentially giving it to the jury and saying, well, it's the same elements, you know, even though, you know, it was so, I mean, this is the kind of thing like this, what these prosecutors did and what they did to Tina Peters, to me, that's criminal conduct.
They're trying to railroad
an innocent person.
And the sentencing judge called Peters a, quote, charlatan and snake oil salesman in his sentencing remarks. I mean, clearly the bias is overwhelming.
There's a cold room in hell reserved for that guy. Let me tell you what.
Seriously.
He is a disgrace, an utter disgrace. No humanity whatsoever. You know, you can think whatever you think. I mean, even if she was just truly a conspiracy theorist, nut job, whatever the case, you don't put a 70-some-year-old woman into state prison, which, by the way, there's no – the attorney noticed that there's no minimum security – prison in Colorado for women.
It's been completely brutal. Now, we only have about a minute and a half left here. What is next? What is the outcome of what happened yesterday, and what is next for Tina Peters?
Okay, here's my prediction. They are going to overturn her conviction probably on several of the charges, and they're going to remand it for resentencing before a different judge on the remaining charges, and probably somehow implying or ordering that it be time served, meaning they're not going to completely order a new trial or new, you know, they're going to reverse, because I mean, her constitutional rights were violated. They manipulated this from get go. I mean, I was like I said, with Roger, it was deja vu all over again. So yeah, that's my prediction, because I think that's the only road they can hoe, you know, because if they overturn everything, you're going to see probably an attempt to re-prosecute. She's been in prison for almost 3 years now. I mean, it's just awful. This Tina, if you watch this, we are praying for you. You have so many people, you're a courageous, wonderful lady, and God be with you. And you will be free again.
Absolutely.
And feel the sunshine on your face and the sun of justice.
We really have to double down on our efforts for this, because obviously we can't get a pardon because it's not a federal charge, and the governor of Colorado is not going to step in anytime soon.
I disagree with that little stampede. Pardons against the United States. Well, is Colorado not one of the United States offenses? I believe the president can pardon.
I think it'd be worth a shot. But however we do it, we got to get justice for this, because this is an act of injustice that is absolutely unbearable in the United States of America. Tyler Nixon, thank you so much for being with us. Follow Tyler at Real Tyler Nixon on X.
If you won't stand up against tyranny, you'll only be a slave. If your child is bullied, they will push you around and make you their slave. Become men again. Become women again. Stand up and tell the new world order. You can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong.
The people above you that are inviting you into their new world order, they're slaves. They've sold out to it. They're blind to their cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry said, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.